All right, let's have some therapy time. Let's rehash. Let's open this thing up and dive a little bit deeper into this Auburn Oklahoma game this past weekend. And let's just dive in and have some fun.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode, another live episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, a.k.a. Kyle Rush, whatever you want to call me. It doesn't matter. At this point, who cares? Call me whatever you want to call me. It's time to talk about this. It's time to talk about this game a little bit further. And I want to give you guys time to vent, express your frustrations, ask questions. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. Is Auburn getting better? Is Auburn getting worse? I got just a few things to talk about, and then I'm going to open it up and let you guys have some fun. And let's just let's lean on each other right here. Let's lean on each other, and let's heal. It's time to try to heal a little bit. And have a little fun at the same time. So before we get started, got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you another $100 back on top of it. All the sports betting lines you can imagine, tons of fun, a lot of different things that you can bet on. Just pick the sport. They got something that you can have fun with. College football, NFL, doesn't matter. And you can get that double up deposit bonus by using coupon code next round. Check them out, mybookie.ag. All right, I've been hearing a lot of talk. I've been hearing so much talk about, Auburn, we're getting worse. Auburn is regressing. Things aren't getting better. Harsin was better. I've heard a lot of stuff about that, and I want to get your thoughts on it. So I'm going to give you mine, but I want to hear your thoughts in the chat. So let me know what you think. Is Auburn regressing? Is Auburn getting better? Is Auburn getting worse? I'll give you my thoughts. So in terms of obviously win-loss, it's tough, okay? You feel like you should be 4-1 at worst, 5-0 at best, and you're 2-3. Five straight home games and you're 2-3. That's not a ideal scenario. But is Auburn getting worse? Is Auburn a worse football team? I feel like by any statistical measure, by any measure that you can come up with, the answer is resoundingly no, other than maybe the wins and losses. I mean, you're averaging over 100 yards more a game. You're averaging over 140 more passing yards per game. Last year, you had 18 passing touchdowns the whole season. The whole season, you had 18 passing touchdowns. You already have 16 so far through five games. So it's Hugh Freeze promised that we would be able to throw the ball. Hugh Freeze promised that we'd be able to start developing this passing attack. He sold a lot of, I don't want to call it dreams, but he sold a lot of promises to these young wide receivers. And I think, so, honestly, he's delivering as far as production goes. Now, are we super sloppy and do we turn the ball over way too much and do we have that killer instinct yet? Not quite there. I do feel like we're close, but we're just not quite there as far as having that ability to find ways to win, having that ability to have that killer instinct. It's just not, we're not quite there yet, but I don't think we're very, very far off. If you look at defense, I thought we were a fairly good defense last year. Offense put the defense last year in bad positions from not being able to move the ball. So it wasn't necessarily turnovers last year as much as it was just you weren't very good on offense. You couldn't throw the ball. You couldn't sustain drives. And I think it's quite the opposite this year, but you've had some very untimely turnovers that have sort of put the defense in binds at times. So last year it was lack of production. This year it's not being able to protect the ball. So, but defensively, I feel like you're about the same, maybe a little bit better than you were last season. And the difference is you're playing a ton of young guys. You're playing a ton of young guys this year, and you're being able to match the output of what I thought was a pretty good defense last year. Young guys, especially in the secondary, you look at Caleb Harris. You look at Malik Blockton on the defensive line. You look at DeMarcus Riddick on Saturday, who had a phenomenal game and is looking like he could possibly be a factor moving forward and somebody that could be a really good player. So you're matching at best, you're matching the defensive output that you had from last year, even with even putting your defense in binds that we have, you're matching the output with a lot younger guys, I feel like. So that's got to make you feel a little bit better as far as what the future holds there. So are we regressing? Is Auburn in a better or worse place than they were a year ago? And I think that if you really can take the emotion out of it, if you can take the fandom out of it and just look at it realistically, look at it from a, you know, if you look at it through the lens of, you know, just being honest with yourself. And again, taking the emotion out of it, you feel like you're doing, you feel like you're taking a step forward as far as a team, in my opinion. Now, you can call me whatever. You can call me, say that I'm just sunshine pumping. You can say whatever. But I think it's pretty hard to say that from it. It'd be one thing if you saw the same product that you saw last year. You know, not being able to throw the ball, struggling to get first downs, not being able to score points. And I think that's just not the case this year. You just have had some really, you've been snake bit. You've been really snake bit as far as, you know, turnovers go. Some of them are bad decisions. Some of them are kind of fluky. The more I look at this last pick six, as bad as I hated that decision as far as the formation goes and like kind of putting Peyton on an island, I mean, I think if Jeremiah Wright does not strike that guy, I can't remember the guy's name that you know, picked it off and ran it back. If they don't make contact and he doesn't, you know, throw the guy back into his drop, I don't know that he makes that interception. I don't know that he may get a hand on it, but I don't know that he makes that play. And definitely not sure if he goes, you know, 80 yards for the, you know, pick six. It was a tough play, but it's kind of, I mean, there's been a lot of those where it's sort of, you know, a little flukish, like weird, you know, off receivers' hands that just go perfectly into, you know, defensive backs that aren't even around the ball, like aren't even in the play. Those type turnovers, getting hit whenever you're, you know, throwing the ball, like it just some stuff that's just not been going our direction. But overall, I do feel like Auburn's getting better. I'm not going to name drop, but I had a call today randomly. A good buddy of mine put me in touch with a former offensive coordinator from Auburn. No real big ties to Auburn, but, you know, he was an offensive coordinator in Auburn, said that's one of the best game plans he's ever seen as far as going up against a Brent Venables defense. Thought Peyton Thorne looked incredible. The way they managed him was incredible, and felt like Hugh was really controlling the game up until that very last couple drives. And I don't know. I feel like that's something that you can kind of lean on. There's going to be a lot of people that talk about moral victories and, oh, there's no such thing as moral victories and this, that, and the other. But when you are rebuilding a program, there's got to be things that you can latch on to. There's got to be like rungs that you go up to like get where you go. It's not just like you're going to turn it on and you're going to win 10 games. Like that's just not going to happen, especially when Auburn, like think about Jarquez Hunter's recruiting class, okay? Think about having a complete recruiting class and only one kid is left. Like, think about that's like almost self-imposed probation, okay? And the depths of what Hugh's had to rebuild and bring, you know, bringing players in and changing the roster and filling holes. Like, I still feel like they're getting better. You know, I really do. And I think if you continue on this trend, the wins will come. Like, Auburn can beat Missouri playing that style of game. In a couple of weeks. Auburn can beat Kentucky playing that style of game in a couple of weeks. Auburn can beat Vanderbilt playing that style of football, what you saw on Saturday, in a couple of weeks. Auburn can beat a lot of teams left on this schedule and get to a, you know, hopefully a 50-50, you know, 6-6 record, at least try to get to postseason. Georgia's going to be a tough one. You know, there was a time during the game, the Alabama game, where I felt like Georgia was not offensively a big threat, but they showed that they can turn it on and they can throw the ball vertical, which is going to be a tough, and they have a fantastic offensive line. So there's some different things we're going to have to do on defense to really frustrate them, because if they got a score, you know, you saw what they did last night. They can score in bunches and they can score quick. So that's going to be a tough one. And then Alabama, who their offense is just so explosive, and as good as Auburn's offense, I feel like, continues to get, I don't know that you can get into a scoring match with them, because regardless of how many points they gave up, they're still a very, very talented defense. So they still have a very, very talented defense. They still have a very, very talented roster. So is Auburn regressing? If you just go by wins and losses, I can see where you would be discouraged. I'm a little bit discouraged, but when you look at the brand of football Auburn starting to play and being able to actually improve those offensive numbers, I think that Auburn's definitely moving in the right direction. You just got to figure out how to win. And that moves me to my next point. You got to learn how to win. And when you're rebuilding a program, you got to flip a switch that helps. You got to have that switch flip where kids learn what it feels like to close out a game, to win when you're not playing bad. Learning how to win is something that is very, very tough. Especially when you sort of have a culture, when you're, you know, 3+ years, 4+ years. I mean, you can take it back even further. You can take it all the way back to, you know, 2017, where, you know, you're going to lose at least 4 to 5 games a year. You're going to drop some games you shouldn't drop. And then the last 4 years, you're talking, or last 3.5 years, just that mindset of just, every time we get close, you feel like there's going to be something that's going to happen, and you're going to blow the game. That not only is how the fans feel, but you got to understand that's probably how they feel as well. Like, you get tight, you get that feeling. Okay, we're getting close to this thing. We're almost close to pulling it out, and then, you know, you make a big mistake, and you have that razor thin margin of error, and then, you know, you end up losing the game. Like this kind of, you got to figure out how to win again. And I think that's like the next step. You're putting up numbers. You're moving the ball. You're getting better on offense. Your defense is fine, good enough to win. Now you got to figure out how to win. Now you got to figure out how to close a game out with a lead. Now's the time you got to start figuring out, okay, we got a few pieces in place. We got some guys that can make some plays. We can move the ball. We can score on folks. Okay, how do we protect the ball, and how do we close this game out? I think that's the next logical step that you got to go when you're rebuilding a program, figuring out how to win the games. And I think you got to not only do that from a player standpoint, coaches have to do it too. You know, I think Hugh had an unbelievable game plan. I think the offensive staff, the way that they carved up that defense all night long was incredibly impressive. The Peyton's game was incredibly impressive. I really was proud of him. I was proud of the way that whole way he played all the way up until that last drive. And it's tough. You got to find ways to win. And then Hugh was calling a great game, and then he kind of got in his head, I think, pressed a little bit down there towards the end. And I'm still sort of perplexed over the empty set there, when really you could just live to play another day. I mean, that's one thing. Oklahoma, they call this thing Sooner Magic. I've just learned this. There's this thing called Sooner Magic, and I've never heard of it, but apparently that's a thing that they coin when they just play like dog crap, and then just somehow they end up with a win at the end of the game. It's called Sooner Magic, and I think that is. Living to play another day, living to play another down. Their offense is not impressive at all, but they never turn the ball over. You know, they play within themselves, and they live to play another day. And their defense is so good that they can keep them in games. And I think that's the way that they figured out how to win games. That's the way that they figured out how to make it happen. And I think once Auburn figures that out, that's the next piece, is can you figure out how to win games? Can you figure out how to close games out? So I know everybody's also worried about recruiting and roster management. Are we going to have a mass exodus? Are we going to have, a ton? Everybody's going to transfer. Everybody's going to leave us. We're going to lose every commit and stuff like that. Well, from a roster management standpoint, from a guys going into the portal standpoint, number one, it seems like the case study everyone wants to point to or compare to is Florida and Billy Napier. There's a couple of huge key differences, though. Number one, Billy Napier had a number one first round draft pick quarterback that he basically couldn't win with. So Hugh definitely has not had that. That was somebody that was, Anthony Richardson was a really good player and you couldn't really do a ton with him. The second thing is, so that makes that's why they're a little bit more upset about that, about that year. Well, then you go into recruiting and building the roster and going into the portal and things like that, and you start having NIL scandals where kids aren't necessarily getting what they're promised. It wasn't just that Billy Napier was losing games; it's that he lost games with a first round quarterback, and he also has an issue. They have an issue with their NIL collective, and some of that could be, lying to kids. You see, there's a lawsuit going on with promising stuff, making promises and then not delivering. So all of that plays a much bigger role in everything that's gone down at Florida. The recruiting class sort of falling apart last season, the kids, several folks going into the portal. Auburn doesn't have a lot of those same traits. Okay, Auburn didn't have a number one draft, a first round quarterback that Hugh went 6-7 with. Okay, Auburn doesn't have NIL issues. Auburn doesn't have NIL scandals. Auburn is more transparent than they need to be. I think at times. I think sometimes their transparency limits them because they're trying too hard to, get in one of those binds or get in one of those NIL binds. That they sometimes, it's like, hey, what you see is what you get, and it just is what it is. And I think that hurts us at times, but I think it helps us at times as well, because kids know that what they've been promised they will get. So I don't know that that's a very good comparison. Okay. And I don't know that there's a really good case study to see what, I don't know that is a very good comparison to say that just because Billy Napier had issues at Florida and he had guys go in the portal because they didn't have a good year two or year three or whatever it is, that's what's going to happen at Auburn, because there's a lot more aspects of that whole situation that I think are important to talk about. They're important discussion points. So from the recruiting aspect, and we got a super chat in, I want to get to it first in just a second, and then we'll start answering questions. But from a recruiting standpoint, so far, all you hear still is a lot of positivity. I think a lot of guys are still, you had several official visits this weekend. As far as the current commits, I think you're doing, they can see it. I think a lot of them can see it. Now, I'm not saying you don't get any defections. Okay. I'm sure there's going to be a couple of decommitments. It just is inevitable, especially if you don't start turning things around. But as far as like having this mass exodus of recruits, at least as of now, there's no evidence of that. Now, there's still a lot of time left and it could 100% happen. But the biggest thing is what you have to do is just figure out ways to remain competitive, sneak out some games, as many as you possibly can, and look good the rest of the year, as much as you can the rest of the year, salvage the roster. You have so many young guys that are getting so much experience, that they're just going to naturally take a step up into a leadership role next year. And they're going to be taking that step up with just that much more experience. So I think you retain the roster and then retain the commits the best you can. Okay. There may not be a ton of those big game guys that you're going to be able to swing now because everybody's price tag's going up. I'm not saying it's impossible, but if you can pick off one or two more, but the focus should be retaining as many of the current commits as you have, because as it stands right now, this is the best class that Auburn's ever had. Now, I know we want to add a few more to put it way over the top, but this is statistically, this is from a ratings perspective, the best class Auburn's ever had. So salvage as many of those as you can, finish somewhere in the top 10, and then go into the portal hardcore and plug some holes and get ready to go in 2025 and see if you can take another step offensively, take another step defensively. So again, I don't think it's as dire as a lot of people say. And look, I get the emotion after a game and you just say stuff, you just pop off. It feels good to just let it rip after a game. But when it all comes down to it, I think if you really sit back and look at it objectively, you know, look at it unbiased, just like say, look, last year to this year, is Auburn getting better as a roster? Are the rosters getting better? Then is the production getting better? And then now that the production and the rosters are getting better, now we need to start seeing some wins. Now we need to start figuring out how to win games. And I think you're kind of on that pace. And we just got to come together. We got to be patient and we got to, you know, root these guys on, finish this year out and try to just continue to move some momentum forward. Now, y'all may think I'm just being, a sunshine pumper. I'm not being realistic, but I don't think you can point to anything that I've said so far and say it's just way out of bounds. It's just way pie in the sky. So let's jump into the chat and have some fun. We got a super chat right off the top. War Dang Atlanta. Do you think Hugh dials it back once a QB commits? Even at Michigan State, Thorne was not the guy. It was Kenneth Walker. Don't think Thorne can handle the pressure when the game is tight. Do you think Hugh dials it back once a QB commits? So I think what he's saying is, are we trying to throw the ball right now? Are we throwing the ball? Or is this offensive explosion, in other words, trying to sell a recruit? I think that's kind of, maybe that's the track that he's going on. And I don't think that's the case. I think it's a great point. I think it's a great conversation to have. Maybe I could see you want to be able to, you got Deuce Knight in the stands for like the fourth or fifth time. You want to be able to throw the ball down the field to impress him. But I think when you start coaching to impress recruits and when you start coaching outside of just running your offense, you're going to get into a lot more problems than you would if you actually missed that recruit. I think you gotta kind of figure out what you're good at, and then just roll with that and build off of it. I get the point on Peyton Thorne. Look, there's a ton of evidence that shows that when the game's on the line, when there's pressure, when there's adversity, he has some issues. Okay, he will have some mental lapses. He will get us into a bad situation. I cannot argue that. Okay. As a matter of fact, I think I've been sort of leading the not charge, I guess, on that. I was very supportive of the quarterback change. But after seeing everything play out, after watching the way he played in this game, if you want to try to salvage and show that you're continuing to progress on offense, I think that the best situation is to roll with Peyton the rest of the year. I really do. If I felt like Hank was going to be, and again, I got to be careful the way I say this because I love Hank, okay? And I think Hank has a very good chance to be a really good player at Auburn in maybe 2026, okay? But if I felt like Hank was the guy in 2025, okay, if I felt like he was the heir apparent, I'd be down to say, since we're playing a lot of these other younger guys, let's just take our lumps and roll with Hank, okay? But with the pressure that's now ramped up on year three And a lot of that's from Hugh talked about year three, talked about, hey, that's when we're going to have two full classes, that one first half class that's got some really good players in it. And we're going to be able to essentially, the whole roster will be Hugh Freeze's roster from portal to high school. That third year, there should not be any holdovers after that. It should be pretty much everybody should be Hugh's guys. Okay. So the pressure in 2025 is going to be massive. And you're going to have a very, very favorable home schedule in 2025. So I don't think that it's wise at this point in time, if you feel very confident that Hank's not going to be your 2025 starter, but could be your 2026 starter, I'm not sure that you just say, forget all these, forget all the seniors and forget all this, whatever. We're rolling with Hank, and we're just going to take our lumps and take our bruises. I don't know that that's the best move at this point in time. Peyton played the best game, his best game at Auburn on Saturday. He was unbelievable. He was fearless. He was aggressive. He made some incredible throws, and his stat line bears it out. So I think if you can build off of that and protect him, like Hugh mentioned, if you can protect him and not have put him in positions to where those type things can happen, which has got to be really, really tough, I think you can win some football games down the stretch. I think you can surprise some people with Peyton. And you probably could with Hank too, but I think it's a little bit more risky. And I think that's a fantastic question. It's a very unique perspective that I haven't really thought about. Is Hugh trying to impress Deuce Knight? Is Hugh trying to put something on film that he can sell to recruits? Maybe, but I think he's just trying to win games. I really do. I think he's just trying to win, and he's got a huge weapon in Keandre Lambert-Smith. He's got a huge weapon in Malcolm Simmons that I think he's kind of figured out how to utilize, and we're going to talk about that this week. And he's obviously got Cam Coleman that you really, really want to keep happy and keep him locked in, and he's still making some plays. He's growing too. He's still a freak and he will eventually be able to take over a game. So I don't necessarily think they're trying to impress anybody, but I do think I don't think they're trying to impress anybody. I don't think they're trying to impress a recruit. I just think they're trying to win football games. All right, let's get in the chat, deep into the chat and have some fun and keep rolling. Let's see. Here's a good one. Connie4AUC5. Do you think having no home games in October harms recruiting in any way? Or have we gotten them all on campus already? Just curious. So great question, Connie. I haven't really thought about that. At this point in time, you've had a bunch of guys on campus every single week. You've had everybody in besides maybe Andrew Babalola. I think you've gotten everybody in for a game that you're really trying to push hard to land. You've had them for multiple games. You've had a lot of all your targets here and commits already for a bunch of games. Now, it is kind of wild that you're about to go a whole month without being able to have visitors. You're about to go 4 weeks. You do have a bye week, so I guess in theory you could have some folks in on a bye week. They wouldn't be able to see a game, but they could come and visit, I guess, at that point in time. But I haven't really thought about the effect that could have on recruiting, because your commits are now going to have a month or so of not being able to come to Auburn. So could they go somewhere else and then have somebody, woo them one way or the other? It's a possibility. So it's weird, very weird. And I hope that gets remedied moving forward so that you can at least stagger it a little bit and not have five home games right out of the gate. And then you have to go, 4+ weeks without being able to bring kids on campus. That is kind of a weird schedule, something I've not thought about. And I think it's something that, yes, you've gotten everybody that you need to get on campus besides Andrew Babalola, but Now you're about to roll 4 weeks where guys can go visit elsewhere. I think that's a great question. I think it's something you got to be prepared for, and hopefully they have a plan in place. Maybe you get some guys in on that bye week. So great, great question. It's something, again, something that I'm not thought about. Let's keep going. Lee Carter, seeing Fagans, Alvin, Gee, and others riding solo through all this gives me hope. I also think being competitive helps the sell job to these kids. We just need you to make the difference. Could not agree more. I think that's a great, great point. You're right. There's been a bunch of guys that have been here every single week. A bunch of very high profile guys that you have committed that have been here every single week. And they've just continued to sort of stand strong and you mentioned it too, you know, you're at least able to point to things and say, look at where we're getting, you can tell where we're getting better. And hey, you could put us over the edge. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you can sell, I feel like. And that's just something that you have to do when you're hitting this adversity right now. So I agree. To me, there's about five or six guys that you just got to do everything in your power to keep. And those are some of them that you just listed right there. Great question here. Ramsey 590. Where is Perry Thompson at? He is a dog and needs to see the field. He might be one that jumps ship if he don't start seeing the field. Okay. Let's talk about where is Perry Thompson at. Okay. Now, Hugh has pretty much shown that if you can make a play, if he can trust you, if he can put you out there, he's going to figure out ways to get you the ball. Malcolm Simmons is a perfect example. Okay. That's a guy that they're doing everything they can to figure out ways to get him the ball. Okay. Whether it be a jet sweep, whether it be, some kind of gadget play, bring them in motion, running them underneath into the flats, whatever you have to do, they're trying to figure out ways to get him the ball. I think if Perry was at the level of development currently as the other guys, I think the same thing could be said of him. I think they would do the exact same thing. I think when he does get in, he's a very, very good run blocker. They haven't really been able to, or he hasn't been able to really dive into, get that playbook locked in to where he can fully be exploited. I think that's a little bit on him, and a little bit that's not necessarily his fault. He played at Florida. He played in an offense where they ran slip screens and they threw it deep. Not a lot of nuance to that offense at Foley High School. So he's got a lot of development to be done. And I agree with you. This is the kind of player you worry about that's not getting the snaps. The only difference is next year, he would be backing up like a Keandre Lambert Smith. So next year he could be the guy if he does all the work that he needs to be done. And you could even bring in a portal guy and let them compete. I don't think a portal. I think you could sell it to a portal guy to come in and compete against Perry, and I think you could sell it to Perry to say, "Hey, look, we need you, and you've got the tools. Just give us some time, and you'll be able to make it happen as well." I know it's tough to watch Ryan Williams at Alabama do what he did last night and do what he's done this year so far. He's been incredible. They're two different type players. And Ryan Williams is, it's pretty clear he's a once in a generation type athlete. So, but again, I know it's tough. I know it's tough to watch Malcolm get playing time. I know it's tough to watch Cam get playing time. And I'm sure he's probably struggling with that. But I think this is where you got to lean on your coaching staff, lean on your player personnel, team that's working him and making sure he understands that he's needed moving forward. If you want to make sure your chat gets read, obviously hit that super chat and I'll jump it straight to the front of the line. Let's go Jacob Lott. Look, I was so mad. I'm going to say that. I think he meant to say so. Look, I was so mad yesterday, so I get it. I really do. But I just don't think it is as bad as everyone says. Auburn has beat itself in three losses. No one has just straight up whooped us. I mean, that's kind of what we've been talking about, Jacob. And I agree. When you really sit down and think about it, when you're in the moment Saturday night, you're fuming. You're mad. You're thinking, there's no way we're going to find a way to win a single game. We're not going to go to a bowl. All logic points to, and all emotion points to, just dread. And I get it. I think I probably had shared some of the same feelings on Saturday night, but I agree with you. It's not quite as bad as it looks like. And I do think Auburn has beat itself. Now, they've been, you can't just say that a turnover is Auburn playing bad. Like, they're being enticed into turning the ball over. Like, there's credit that has to be given to Cal. There's credit that has to be given to Arkansas to bait guys into turning the ball over, doing the eye candy that they need to make guys make mistakes, punching balls out on fumbles. A lot of times those are just hustle plays. There is something there to that. But if you can eliminate 50% of the turnovers, what are we talking about right now? We could be talking about being 5-0 and having a wave of momentum going into Georgia. So yeah, Jacob, I agree. Once you kind of sit down, take a step back and just look at it, there is a lot of progress that's been made, and I think it's something that you can kind of lean on and sort of hope that it continues to progress, and then eventually you'll figure out ways to win games at the end. Let's go with this one right here. JW5389. I say we need an elite QB. It's going to be hard for a team to win two more games this year because of not having an elite QB. Peyton Thorne had a good game, but he's still making freshman mistakes. This season, I would have thought we were further than just a quarterback away. I would have thought that this team would have been further than a quarterback away for being competitive. And I think I may agree with you. I think that maybe we're already to the point where you're just an elite. You're just not even necessarily an elite, just maybe a little bit above average quarterback away from being in that playoff talk. I mean, I don't know that you'll make the playoffs. I don't know if your roster's quite there yet. But if you just have average quarterback play, maybe a little bit above average quarterback play, especially from a turnover perspective, you could be in the playoff talk. And that could definitely be the case next year. So that's why I think definitely if we can salvage this recruiting class, salvage this roster, and sort of hang in there, I think the money people are hungry to go chase some big game when it comes to quarterbacks in the portal. And I think Hugh's behind it. Okay, I think that he understands that he made a gamble, and some of it's understandable. Some of it's, you know, what's better for the program on the long run, to blow it all on a quarterback, or see if you can take some of that and spread it out and continue to build the roster. And then, you know, maybe you're not a quarterback away this year, but maybe next year you're only a quarterback away, and then you can go get that guy. I think that's probably going to be the case. So I agree with you, J-Dub. I think you're just a quarterback. You're already just a quarterback away, which is kind of remarkable. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going through here. Let's see. Sorry, guys. I'm going to find a good one. I saw a good one from an Oklahoma guy. Oh, here we go. Oklahoma guy's in here. Hope y'all travel next year. Be glad to have you. I had a great experience with every Oklahoma person that I met. Even in the, you know, I was in the press box. Even a lot of the media guys were very nice. So I think that's going to be a really fun trip next year. And I'm curious to see what they do in the offseason offensively. That defense is nasty. It's one of the best defenses in the country. I was proud that Auburn kind of carved them up and handled them like they did, but it felt like when they needed to make a play, they could. You couldn't run on them if they knew you had to run. We kept them off balance a lot, but if they needed to make a stop in the run game, you couldn't run on them. They were tough. So that will be a very, very fun game next year. Let's talk about this. Is a good one. Robert Guy. All I know is when you're winning by two scores in the fourth quarter and your running backs are averaging 7 yards per carry, just run the ball. Now, on one hand, Robert, I completely agree with you. Okay. But on the other hand, the reason they're running, they were getting 7 yards a carry was not because the reason they were getting 7 yards of a carry is because they were able to keep Oklahoma off balance, because you were able to, you know, make them have to think and be able to, you know, have the option to pull it, have the option to throw it. I mean, if you just got down to it and you had to run it 10 times to close out the game, I don't think you're going to get 70 yards. I'm just not sure that that's the, how that works. Now on that same note, I think that the last two drives, but when I say the last two drives, I'm talking about the drive before the interception and then the drive of the interception. I think there's some circumstantial stuff that you can do that makes it to where the run read has to be the main priority, and it has to be almost a touchdown to pull it and not hand it off. Like, it almost has to be the perfect read. Situationally, I think that you got to be a little bit smarter with your decision making, whether it be from a play calling perspective or the quarterback in general. And then I don't mind a pass on third and four. I don't mind it. You get a first down and you pretty much win the game. So I don't have an issue too much with throwing it on third and four. The biggest issue that I had was the formation, the way they went about it. You took the RPO out of it and just made it a pass. Everybody knew it. And Oklahoma had the perfect bait play, bait defense in there to get Peyton to throw an interception. So, again, I get it. Under this sentiment in general, I agree with you. I think there's some things you can do situationally to make sure that the priority is on the R and not the P in those type circumstances. But on the flip side, I don't think it's very honest to think that you just line up and run it every single play and you're going to get 7 yards or even 4 or 5 yards. When we were running it and they knew we had to run it, they were tough. And there was not a lot of gain. There was not a lot of yardage there. So, I get it though. We got another super chat coming in just a second. Thomas Jones, one of our regulars. We'll get to that one as soon as it pops in. Let's keep going. My buddy War Eagle Wyoming, Keontae didn't get embarrassed yesterday. That's step forward. There was still a couple of times where he was picked on, but for the most part, they did hold them in the check on the defensive side of the ball. But that's funny, especially after last week that we talked about. I think Thomas Jones actually said he was going to start calling him burnt toast. That's pretty funny. Okay, let's see. Let's keep going. I just saw this one. Let's talk about it. Ben Bloodworth. I can never find any update on Champ Anthony. He's out for the season. What was the actual injury? Yes, it was a broken leg, and he's out for the year. And he's had a successful surgery, and we're just hoping I think he actually does get to use a red shirt, so he could be back next year. So that's big, because he was sort of kind of coming into his own there, and I think that's pretty big for that secondary, because it's going to be you lose Keontae Scott, you lose Jaron Thompson, so you're going to be pretty young in the secondary in general. So it's good to have an older guy like Champ out there, and he was smoking cats in that Arkansas game. So he's going to come back with a vengeance. Let's keep going. I want to read this one, but it's kind of vulgar, Wyoming. I'm sorry, I'm not going to read it. It is funny though. It made me laugh. Jonathan. I have had this conversation 10 times, this exact same thing. Peyton has to take that sack and we punt instead of throwing a pick six. The only time we needed him to take a sack. And he had a dude up in his grill too. He had a guy in his face. That was one time. If he would have taken a sack, I would not have been mad at him. But instead, Instead, Jeremiah Wright had to just bench press this guy directly into the line of the pass, off balance, everything. Just what a freak play. But yeah, Peyton, at this point in time, take the sack, you punt, pin him inside the, you know, maybe inside the 15, inside the 10, and let that dude have to go 90 and score a touchdown. Like, they were down 5. So, like, it's not like you drive down and get in field goal range to kick and tie or kick and win. Like, they had to score a touchdown. Like, I just loved our odds there. I really loved our odds there if that would have been the case. So, it's tough. Here's another Oklahoma fan. I like this. Aaron Blevins, best of luck going forward for y'all, Auburn football. From an Oklahoma fan, I think if your club can keep it tight in the locker room the rest of the season, you will surprise some people. And I agree, Aaron. And I think, you know, fans, we got to hang in there too. There's some folks that are angry, understandably so. But I think if you're rational and you look at it rationally, you can see the progress that we're making. And, you know, fans can make a big impact on the attitude and everything around a team, just like the players can. So let's keep trying to be positive and trying to find, be supportive and try to find some silver linings. Let's take a couple more and then we're going to call it a night. Thomas, send me another chat, man. It's not coming through. Thomas Jones, send me a chat, buddy. I hadn't seen your question come through. I saw your super chat, and I appreciate that, but I have not seen it. I have not seen it come through yet. So send it again. I saw a good question. Let me see if I can find it. It was about. Here it is. Brett Nunley, C5. If Hank is the guy in 2026, where does that leave Deuce? If he commits, he'd be a redshirt freshman, I guess. I mean, he'd be a freshman in 2025 if he commits, which I don't know that I feel confident about that anymore. But if he does commit, he'd be a redshirt freshman. I think Deuce is probably willing to sit. I mean, he's going to have to sit at Notre Dame. Texas, that's in the loop. If he goes to Texas, he sure is, you know what's going to have to wait. So I could see him, you know, in 2026, he'd be a redshirt freshman and maybe looking to take over the following year. Like, it'd be a really good competition for 2027 moving forward. So, but again, I think confidence in Deuce is going down by the hour. So I don't know. The recruits still feel good about him. The commits that we have feel good about him, but I mean, I'm starting to waver on how I feel about him. And I think a lot of people are, quite frankly, getting tired of it. I think Auburn's done a lot from, you know, not just a NIL perspective, but, you know, everything for the family and all that good stuff. And I think they're, quite frankly, getting fed up with it. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. Let's see. Let's keep going. Let me see if Thomas is – there it is. Here it is. Here we go. Why did Hugh get cute on the goal line running the Wildcat instead of just running your offense? Getting cute will get you beat 10 times out of 10. As a self-proclaimed Wildcat hater, I think I agree with you. I think I agree with you 100%. Look, here's the deal. Auburn at that point in time, like, I think Auburn could have run Jarquez Hunter 10 times on that very play. I don't think he would have scored. I think that's how good Oklahoma is. If they know that you have to run the ball, if Oklahoma knows you have to run the ball, I think that that's something that Auburn – there was times where Auburn had to run the ball and Oklahoma stuffed it. So I don't know. Maybe the thinking is, let's see if we can get 10 blockers in a rusher. You know what I mean? Like, it's 10 on their guys, 10 on 11. You got more bodies in the box. Maybe you can push them around, and Samuel Jackson has the ability to throw it too. Maybe that makes them think one extra step. Like, there's a lot of things that it could have gone into that. We kind of, if you're a member of the barn, we talked about that has been repped. So there was something that you could possibly see. Again, I just don't like, the Wildcat. We've gone to the Wildcat a couple of times this year, and I don't know that it's gained a single yard. And one of them was even with Jarquez. It's actually netted a penalty. And it's actually netted a penalty and some no gains. So, I think that we should definitely, I think maybe that experiment's over. Maybe do it like, if you're going to do it, don't do it on the goal line. Maybe do, I don't know. I don't know where there's a good place to do it. I'm just not a Wildcat guy. I'm scarred from the Gus Malzahn era, and I just don't like the Wildcat at all. So I think that may be it for the night. I really appreciate you guys. Some great chat, great discussion. I'll tell you what I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of the chat because I was actually worried that it was going to be very toxic. I was worried that it was going to be very, I got to be honest. I'm sorry. I had some doubts that we would be even able to show a lot of the comments, but, and understandably so, because of how gut-wrenching that loss was. But you guys are rock stars. I really appreciate the maturity. I really appreciate the questions. They're not emotional. A lot of them are very well thought out. And I think that is something that's very, very rare, it seems, especially at this point in time. So I'm very blown away with you guys. I think that's awesome. I really appreciate it. It made tonight a whole lot better. Instead of just scrolling, fire you, fire everybody, this season sucks, all this. Not a ton. I feel like it's just realism. I feel like there's a lot of just people being realistic. And I really appreciate that. So guys, I thank y'all. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And you know, we're going to do this every Sunday night. We're going to keep getting into it, getting in the chat, let you guys tell us what you think, and have fun at the same time. Hopefully we're going to start bumping out some dubs here soon and continue to progress on the offensive side of the ball. And hopefully we salvage this class and salvage this roster and, you know, keep building for the future. So let's see what happens, guys. I really appreciate it. We'll be back again tomorrow. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.